The Wanderer. A long time ago, on the planet of Cerusha, before the city of Solace was destroyed by the vengeance of the Dark Wraith, stories were told amongst the people of a kindly wanderer who would emerge from the mist to aid the people in their hour of need, assisting them with their most difficult or dangerous plights. The wanderer always traveled alone, appearing in flowing brown robes, with a neatly trimmed beard and a mane of chestnut-colored hair that flowed over his shoulders. He carried a sword that seemed to glow with its own inner light, and he commanded the power of gods, for he understood the natural order of things and had power over all creatures and the trees and the rising tide. No one knew from whence the wanderer came, or to where he returned when his work was done, and many amongst the people of Solace suspected he was not but a specter, a conjured apparition, for he seemed only to appear when and where he was most needed, and none ever learned his name. While his visitations were few and far between, the mere fact of his existence offered the people hope, for they saw that there was goodness in the world and knew that they were not alone. 3 times the wanderer was seen within the walls of Solace, and 3 times he helped the people overcome a threat that might otherwise have proved their undoing. The first of these occasions was long ago, before the wars that tore the galaxy apart, and long before Solace burned. Back when it was the glittering jewel on the edge of the Baralic Sea, the pride of all Cerusha. For many years, the city had been a bustling port where traders from all across the known galaxy came to exchange their wares, or to seek work or passage amongst the stars. The cantinas brimmed with patrons from the Outer Rim, and the people of Solace welcomed their visitors with open arms, embracing all with their hospitality. The people grew rich, too, on the money they made from the traders, who brought wealth with them to Solace and spent credits in the city seeking food and board and company. Yet there cannot be light without darkness, and there were those in Solace who sought to encourage illegal trade and villainy and to bring the good name of the city into disrepute. So it was that a group of nefarious pirates came to Solace, stationing themselves just outside the city in the craggy mountains, from where they could mount raids upon all the incoming and outgoing ships. The pirates were a motley crew, comprising villainous sorts from many different worlds, Bith, Abednego, Twi'lek, and human amongst them, and they took great pleasure in their work, demanding payment in cargo for safe passage in and out of the city and carrying out hostile raids upon the citizens who cowered in terror at their coming. For many months, this regime continued, and the people grew desperate, for not only were the pirates slowly eroding all the wealth the citizens had accumulated over the years, but trade was becoming sparse as traders chose other ports to avoid paying the pirates' toll. Meanwhile, the pirates showed no sign of tiring, for they had amassed a great hoard in the mountains and grew lazy and fat off the proceeds. In its desperation, the city raised a small militia to tackle the pirates, but they were ill-trained and unprepared, and the pirates dismissed them easily, sending them scuttling back to their homes behind the city walls. It seemed as though the problem would never be solved, and the pirates had made a permanent home on Cerusha. It was then that the Wanderer made his first appearance in Solace, the day following the repelled attack on the pirate base. No one saw him arrive, but all who encountered him that day spoke of the aura of power that surrounded him, and they knew that he was kindly of heart and mind. The Wanderer spent the day walking the quiet streets of the city, speaking to those who had suffered at the hands of the pirates, hearing their tales of woe. If he had business there in Solace, he kept it to himself, for he seemed to walk with no urgency and took time to speak with everyone who bid him good day. So drawn to him were the people that they emerged from their homes to witness his passing, and the winds blowing off the sea whispered of coming change. That night, the wanderer watched from a rooftop as the pirates carried out another raid. this time crashing a speeder into the city orphanage and stealing its donation fund, leaving the building a smoking ruin. Upon witnessing this travesty, the Wanderer promised to help the people and to relieve them of the pirate menace the very next day. Thus, the next morning, the Wanderer set out for the mountains, taking no provisions and carrying only the hilt of his glowing sword on his belt. The people of Salas had gathered on the city walls to watch him go, for they knew in their hearts that one man could do nothing in the face of such villainy, and they feared for his life. Yet still, they held out hope, for there was something about this Wanderer they had never encountered before, a power that resonated in his every step. For hours the people remained on the walls, until, as the sun began to set on the horizon, they knew they had been right, and the strange Wanderer who had come amongst them had tried valiantly to parley with the pirates, but failed, and they would never hear from him again. Yet soon after, one of the watchers issued a cry, and in the distance, a lone figure was seen crossing the plain towards the city, leaving a cloud of dust in his wake. As the figure drew nearer, the people saw that it was the Wanderer, and they cheered. The kindly man, with his strange mannerisms and even stranger appearance, returned to the city, assuring the people that they would never be troubled by the pirates again. Then, his business there complete, he turned and walked away into the setting sun, disappearing once more from their view. True enough, the pirates did not return to the city the next day or the day after, and soon a small expedition of volunteers set out from Salas for the mountains, whereupon they found the camp of the pirates had been abandoned and the citizens' own stolen goods left behind. The treasures were recovered and restored to their rightful owners, and trade once again began to flourish in the city as word spread and star-faring traders returned. The Wanderer was not heard from again until many years later, when the people of Salas once again had dire need for his assistance. The city had continued to thrive in the intervening time, and with it the population had grown exponentially, and the needs of the people were far greater than they had ever been. Thus, a large mining operation had been initiated, and huge drills had been deployed to open boreholes in the plains, from which minerals could be extracted for use in the city's forges and factories to help sustain the people. Only, in drilling deep into the crust of the planet, the miners had awoken a hive of creatures living in the hollows beneath the surface, and these horrifying beasts had spilled out onto the ground to utterly infest the city. These creatures were the size of small loathwolves, with hard, chitinous plating, long snouts, and vicious mandibles that crackled with the strange charge of energy that could disable a person with the merest touch. The creatures had burrowed into homes throughout the city, swarmed the sewers and alleyways, and worst of all, taken to feasting on children. The people of Salas were afraid, for the creatures seemed unstoppable. They had no weapon that could penetrate the thick armor plating and no barrier that could halt the creatures' progress. In disturbing the underground nest, the people of Salas had lost their own homes, and nowhere were safe as the creatures swarmed from the depths like some terrible punishment sent to test their spirits. All over the city, people called out to the Wanderer for help, recalling stories of his previous visit and the miracle he had performed on their behalf. The Wanderer must have heeded their cries, for he came once again, unfolding from the mist like an apparition before the eyes of a child and his mother, somehow banishing with a simple wave of his hand a creature that had been menacing them. Once again, the Wanderer took to the streets, forever inquisitive, hearing the tales of the unfortunate who had lost kin to the terrible jaws of the beasts. For the infestation had become unbearable, and scores of children were being swallowed daily. Upon seeing the extent of the city's plight, first, the Wanderer went to the site of the drills, where, employing his blade of light, he destroyed the mining machines, slicing effortlessly through their workings and severing their towering alloy shafts. Then, returning to the city, the Wanderer chose a raised platform in the central square, the stage used by politicians to give speeches, and dropped to his knees, closing his eyes and folding his arms across his chest in silent meditation. As the people watched, for word had spread and the people had gathered, the creatures began to emerge from their burrows, poking out of the sides of homes and buildings and scuttling from the mouths of alleyways. Soon, a huge swarm of creatures had gathered in the square, so many that they scrambled atop of one another, chittering anxiously. All the while, the wanderer kneeled upon the platform, his eyes closed as in peaceful communion. After a time, the wanderer rose to his feet, and with a final glance at those who had gathered to watch him work, turned his back and walked off the platform, making a path through the crowd toward the city gates. Sure enough, the creatures followed, forming a grotesque, glistening carpet of swarming carapaces. They scuttled behind him in a long chain, the noise of their passing a thunderous roar. The people watched in awe as the wanderer led creatures through the city gate and off into the chill of the night, back toward the derelict drill site. The creatures returned from whence they had come, and the people of Solace understood that they must never drill again, lest they stir the creatures once more from their nests. The final appearance of the wanderer came some years later still, when raging storms threatened to breach the city walls. Great tidal waves from the Boralic Sea crashed down upon the turrets and towers, washing briny water through the streets to carry away people, animals, and buildings in its path. The Boralic Sea was a large body of water that served both the city of Solace and, to a lesser extent, the nearby city of Mach. Solace had grown up on the shores of the murky water and had for many thousands of years benefited from this proximity, as the sea provided a ready supply of fish and sea vegetables, and salt and rare spices were extracted from its depths. Yet the storms that assaulted the city that year were like none that had come before, and many suspected unnatural forces were at play. Lightning crackled across a nightmarish sky. Rain and hail thrummed upon the rooftops, and thunder clapped so loud that it shattered windows and sent people cowering in fear. Yet this was as nothing compared with the vast waves that were thrown up from the sea, crashing again and again against the city walls like the engines of a siege, battering down the defenses in an effort to drown everything within. There was nothing to be done, and as the walls began to crumble, the people knew that the city might be doomed at any moment should a big enough wave rise from the sea to wash the remaining mortar away. Plans were made to evacuate, but the people knew their days were numbered, for to brave the storm without the shelter of the walls would mean certain death. Yet the waves continued to rise, ever bigger, and they knew not what to do. And then, as suddenly as if he had ridden on the storm itself, the wanderer was amongst them once again. And though he appeared the same as he ever had, those who saw him reported that he carried himself with a weariness that belied his calm exterior. Despite his seemingly heavy burdens, he would not see the people of Solace come to harm, and ever defiant, he strode from the city towards the sea, his arms raised above his head. The crest of an immense wave rose to greet him, and to the amazement of all, the wanderer held it back. The wave rippled and roared in fury, towering high above the wanderer's head, but all the while he remained standing on the beach, a serene expression on his face, his arms held high as if throwing up an unshakable barrier around himself and the city. For nearly an hour he stood his ground, pushing back against the water, a battle of wills. But the sea was not to win that day, and the storm finally broke, the waters calmed and retreated, and the wave finally collapsed, sloping back to the sea where it belonged. The wanderer broke his stance, and the city was saved. Some say that he stayed to aid in recovery after the storm, wandering the streets to drag the afflicted from their waterlogged homes, while others claim he melted into the dawn with the last patter of rain, that serene smile still writ upon his face. Never again was the Wanderer seen by the people of Solas. Not even when the Dark Wraith rose from the underworld to strike them down. And yet his story persists amongst those who survived the ruination. And his tale is still told beside hearths throughout the land. For the people of Cerussia know that he is out there still, wandering from world to world, helping those who cannot help themselves.